This is a picture of a little girl named Adine. E-D-I-N-E, Adine. And this isn't a picture from the internet. This isn't a picture that I found in a magazine or a newspaper article. This is a picture taken by my friend John Elmore, a guy that works with me here at Watermark. And John shared with me Adine's sad story, and I want to share it with you. Adine is from a country called Haiti. It's a small island, a very impoverished nation, one of the poorest nations in the country. And our church regularly takes trips there. And John was actually with a medical team. He's not a medical professional, but he was there as a pastor and a minister serving alongside doctors and nurses that were going into remote villages on Haiti, up in the mountains, hours away from the city, to serve and help people who are having trouble, like Nadine. A few years ago when John went, the country was suffering from a huge food shortage, and people were starving. And so Nadine was severely malnourished, and this is how bad it was in her village, is that people, including Nadine, were actually eating mud off the ground just to feel the feeling of fullness in their stomach. And in doing so, they were getting all sorts of bacteria and even worms in their system. So she was suffering from worms in her stomach and intestines, and also bacterial infections, not to mention malnourishment. And so John and his team were going in order to serve Nadine and her people. And what they were going with is something I have right here in my hand. I got it off of John's bookshelf today, and there's a picture of it up on the screen. But they have these peanut butter packets, and the peanut butter packets are full of antibiotics and anti-worm medicine. And they've discovered this formula and realized that if for a series of months, so usually about 3 months, if they will take 8 servings of this peanut butter, just like spoonfuls, 8 times a day throughout the day, that it clears up all of the stuff they're suffering from. And they've packed it with nutrients too, and so they get re-nourished and healthy. And so the goal of this team was to go to a village that had not been reached with this substance yet and deliver this healing medicine so that suffering children like Nadine and her parents and her entire community could be transformed and healthy once again. So they travel like a couple hours outside the city. They get to this village. They get out. They're excited to greet the people. They're expecting that the people will be very relieved and excited to see them. And as John got out of his van and began to walk towards the villagers, he noticed two things. Number one was this: children began running away from them. And number two, adults began grabbing machetes. So that is not the sort of reception that you want when you're in a foreign country and you can't speak their language, is people grabbing machetes and children running away from you. So quickly, the translators that they had brought with them made all the white people get back in the vans, and they went and started talking to the people of the village. And here's what they had discovered, is that decades ago, white people had come to their island and enslaved their people and treated them very poorly. And from that point on, they trusted Americans, North Americans, or white people in general, zero. And they taught their children not to trust people like us. And they actually taught their children fairy tales in order to protect them from the white man. They told their kids that if they ever saw someone without color in their skin, that that person was there to eat them. They told them that we were cannibals. And so that is why the children, as soon as they saw the first white person they had ever seen, ran away in terror. And their parents picked up machetes to protect them. And so the translators tried to explain, that's not who we are. That's not what we're here for. We're here to bring you medicine. You are sick and you are suffering, and we have the cure. But the people refused them. But they were willing to listen and let them show them what they were doing. And so John was able to meet Adine. Let's put her picture back up. Meet this little girl. And with his phone, he snapped this picture. And he pleaded and he begged Adine's parents through the translator, please, let us give her this medicine. Let us give her this peanut butter. It will heal her. It will nourish her. It will bring her back to life. But her parents refused. And so John took this picture so that he could remember to pray for Adine, and so that he could remember to pray for her people. So why do I start with this story? Here's why. Adine's people were malnourished, and they were suffering, and they were even facing death, but they refused to receive the free gift of healing that was being offered to them. And I think if we're honest, and if you're anything like me, too often we are like Aideen. There is a free gift of healing that is being offered to us by God, but too often we refuse to receive the gift that's being offered to us, and we suffer. We're malnourished, and we're sick inside, but we refuse to receive what's offered to us. And if you want to take your first step towards healing, I mean, we are here to talk for the next 3 months about walking the steps towards healing. And if you want to take your first step towards healing, you must admit that this is a picture of you. That this is a picture of you. You see, God sees every part of our lives, and he knows that in many ways we are malnourished and suffering. But in Christ, God has come to give us a free gift of healing. But we too often reject it. And why do we do that? I think sometimes we just refuse to admit our need. We're just prideful, and we don't want to admit that we have a need. Sometimes we have a hard time trusting that God is good. Like the people of that village had a hard time trusting that John and his friends were good. We have a hard time trusting God because maybe we feel like God has let us down in the past, or God's people have let us down in the past. Sometimes we think that we can handle things on our own. And sometimes, and this is really sad if you ever get to this point, sometimes we think we deserve the suffering that we are experiencing. And all the while, I'm telling you, like John looking at Aideen, God sees our deep need, and he longs to help us if we'll simply welcome him. So we're going through, we say walking the steps of healing. We're going through the word healing this semester, and it starts with the letter H, which is help. And so this is the first principle that we're talking about in these lessons you guys went through this week is help. We are broken and powerless to heal on our own. We admit that we desperately need help. And so this is the first step you need to take if you want to find healing in your life. And so I'm just going to review quickly what the lessons covered this week. They really covered three things. We didn't say it exactly like this, but we covered the scope of brokenness, the source of brokenness, and the start of healing. And guys, you looked at this scripture, Romans chapter I think it's 5. Is it Romans 5? Let me put it on the screen. I couldn't see the 8. Romans 8, 21 through 23. And it says, against its will, all of creation was subjected to God's curse. For we know that all creation has been groaning, is in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. And just to make sure we get the point, the author of Romans says, and we believers also groan, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. And so no one is immune from the scope of brokenness. So I want you guys to understand as we enter into our discussion tonight that the scope of brokenness is this. Brokenness is everywhere, including my own life. And even church people, even Christian people, our lives are broken. Brokenness is everywhere. I mean, guys, we know this world is messed up. We see brokenness all around us, and it's inside us as well. A couple months ago, I had the opportunity to go with some kids from this church. We were at church on Sunday. These are church-going kids that are here all the time, and they were going out to lunch, and they invited me to go out to lunch. We went to what I believe to be the most overrated chicken place in Dallas, Bubba's. Yes, Bubba's is so overrated. Okay, can we talk about it for a second? Never a place to park. The tables are always sticky. Chicken's overpriced and average. Their rolls are so dry. Yes. Okay, just don't go to Bubba's unless you want to experience mediocre chicken. If you want good chicken, go to Raising Cane's. It's always hot. It's juicy. It's fresh. It's amazing. Okay, anyways, so we go to Bubba's. They were going there. They invited me. I went. I endured this overpriced mediocre chicken. But while we're sitting there, I asked a question to two people that were sitting across from me because I was thinking about this very thing about how brokenness is everywhere. But I was looking at these kids, and they're popular kids. They get good grades. They play sports. They're at church all the time. But I really do believe brokenness was everywhere. And so I asked them, I said, do you believe brokenness is everywhere, including your own life? And they thought about it for a second, and they're like, yeah. And I said, how? How has brokenness affected your life? And these two kids shared with me their answer, and a kid next to them overheard, And they said, what are you talking about? And so I repeated the question to them. And then the question kind of spread around the table. And then we all joined in and we started sharing. And I went home and I wrote down what I heard at that table of all of these kids that their lives look great on the outside. Here's what they said. My best friend died when I was 5, and I don't know how to grieve. I've experienced repeated rejection from my peers. I struggle with depression. I struggle with an eating disorder. I was abandoned by my parents and experienced a loveless childhood. I wrestle with suicidal thoughts. I've been taken advantage of sexually. My parents are divorced. I just realized while these people were talking that I've never had a single, real, meaningful conversation with my mom. I struggle with anger. I experience guilt and shame because of past sexual sin. And this is around a table of 8 high schoolers just like you. And so how about you? You were asked some questions about that this week. What are the ways your life has been broken? Emotionally, like insecurity inside your heart, fear, self-hatred, sadness, depression, anxiety. How has your life been broken by those things? How has your life been broken relationally? How have you been hurt by others and how have you hurt others? How has your life been broken physically? You've experienced sickness, injury, unhealthy habits, self-harm, abuse. Has your life been broken spiritually? Have you questioned whether or not God is real, whether or not he could really love you? So if we stop and think about it, brokenness is easy to see. So let's talk about where it comes from. We talked about the source of brokenness, or it was in your curriculum that the source of brokenness is this, sin. Sin is the source of all brokenness. And so look back at Romans 8, 21 through 23, and I'll highlight a different part of it. Against its will, all creation, including you, including me, was subjected to God's curse. For we know that all creation's been groaning is in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. So guys, we see in the scriptures that the source of all brokenness can be traced back to the very beginning of humanity. Brokenness was not always everywhere. I don't have time to unpack for you and teach you all of Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 3, the first 3 books of the Bible. But in those books, if you'll go home and read them, you're going to see that brokenness was not always everywhere. That God created a perfect world and he created 2 perfect people and he placed them on this earth and he gave them complete freedom to enjoy one another and to enjoy all of creation. But he gave them one command to obey, not to eat of one tree. And you guys have probably heard the story before, but what they did was the one thing God asked them not to do. So here's a summary. Adam and Eve were created in God's image and they lived in a perfect world. But Adam and Eve were tempted by God's enemy, Satan. And they believed Satan's lie and they sinned and they disobeyed God. And Adam and Eve felt shame and they hid from God. They covered themselves. They blamed one another and they blamed the serpent. And then Adam and Eve were subjected to God's curse in that moment. And that in that moment, they began to experience brokenness, pain, broken comfort, pain in childbirth, pain in work, conflict with one another, broken peace, difficulty, broken joy, separation from God, a broken identity. And then they began to experience the reality of death, broken security. And what does that have to do with us? In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world, and Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. And so you and I are sons of Adam and daughters of Eve. And just like they sinned, we have sinned. And so the problem with this world is not just Adam and Eve's problem, it's our problem because just like them, we have sinned too. So we were created in God's image. You are image bearers of the Creator God. And we have believed Satan's lies, and we have sinned and disobeyed God, and we have felt shame, we have hidden, we have tried to blame others, and we're also subject to God's curse. We experience pain and conflict and difficulty, separation from God, and death. So where's the hope? The hope is this. It's the start of healing. The start of healing is help from something outside of ourselves. Guys, this is a glorious message of hope that I want to make sure you hear tonight. Genesis 3:21, after Adam and Eve were caught red-handed by God, and they hid in their shame, and they tried to blame each other and blame Satan, and God's curse came down on them before he sent them out of the garden. The scriptures say this, the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife. You see, in a perfect world, up until that point, nothing had died. And God killed an animal instead of killing Adam and Eve. And as they had gotten leaves and covered up their shame and their nakedness, when they realized they were naked and they were embarrassed, God killed an animal and he made them clothes to cover them. And this is foreshadowing. This is prophecy. This is telling what God would ultimately do one day through his son, Jesus Christ, that he would offer Jesus as a sacrifice, as a payment for our sins. And his righteousness and his purity and his perfection as the perfect Son of God would cover our imperfection as he takes our imperfection from us. Romans 5:17 says this, for the sin of one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. So guys, Jesus alone offers triumph over all of our brokenness. So if we want to heal, we cry out to him. So here we are, help. We're broken and powerless to heal on our own, and we admit that we desperately need help. And here's the hope. Look at what Psalm 34:17-18 says. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. So if you're coming in here tonight, if you're reading that curriculum this week, and you're beginning to call out to God for help, he hears you, and he rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he rescues those whose spirits are crushed. So guys, everybody tune in. I want eyes up here. Look at me. If you don't hear anything else tonight, if you don't hear anything in the room upstairs or anything that I've already said or Cameron said, I want you to hear this. God is close to you. God hears you. God can rescue you, and God loves you. God loves you. He is close to you. He wants to rescue you. He wants to heal you and love you. So the scope of brokenness, guys, is that brokenness is everywhere, including my own life. The source is sin. Sin is the source of all brokenness, and the start of healing is help from something outside of ourselves. So if we're going to actually find life and healing in Christ, we must first admit that we need help. So remember this first picture of Aideen? John and his team left. And they had to come back, and some translators who lived nearby continued to visit that village. And they continued to tell them about the healing that was offered through this peanut butter and convinced them to give the peanut butter a try. And so, finally, Nadine's parents decided to admit their desperate need and simply receive the free gift that was being offered. And a few months later, one of the translators sent John this picture. This is Aideen after 3 months. She was completely restored to health. The worms were gone. The bacteria was gone. And you can see she put on normal weight for a baby her age. She was restored to health. And listen, some of you guys might be skeptical, but this could be you at the end of this program. You could go from sick and unhealthy and suffering to happy and healthy. And you might be skeptical. You maybe have tried the God thing before, and there's just a mustard seed of faith that's bringing you into this room tonight. And here's what I want to challenge you with, guys. Aideen had to take 8 servings of peanut butter a day for 3 months. And for those of you that are skeptical about what God can do in your life, I want to challenge you with this. Have you ever sought God daily and obeyed him and received what he's offering you in his word and from his people and walked in his truth as best you can? Have you ever trusted him and sought him and believed in him with everything you've got 8 times a day for 3 months? Like, have you ever given it a try? because Aideen's not a doctor. Her family, they're not biologists. They don't know what this is. By faith, they had to receive it. And she didn't get healed on day one. And she didn't get healed on week one. And she didn't get healed on week three. So she had to keep eating it by faith, keep eating it, keep receiving the gift that was given her. And eventually, over time, she was healed and restored. And so my challenge to you is to be patient and to have faith and to stick with this curriculum. Work on it every week. Do every lesson. Don't just procrastinate and cram in the back of the car on the way over here. Pray before you do each lesson. Remind yourselves of these truths. Write scripture on your hand or on your arm or keep a card in your pocket. Put it on your phone. And 8 times a day or more, seek the Lord for the healing that you need. When you get into those rooms, trust your group. Share with them. Ask questions about things you don't understand. Engage fully. We've got a list of things back here that are called issue sheets. You should look at those in the back of the room before you leave. If there's a certain issue that you're struggling with, there's extra scripture, extra direction, extra advice for you back there on certain issues. Dive into those. Take everyone you need. We'll put more out if you take all of them. All right? But just like Aideen, you start with a cry for help, and then you receive the help that's offered to you by faith. So let me pray, and we're going to get you out of here to your classrooms. Lord, I pray that you would help us to do that, to patiently and faithfully receive what you've offered to us. Lord, if there's anything I said that is not of you, I pray that it would be forgotten, and I pray that your word and your truth would be heard and stuck in the hearts and minds of everyone in this room tonight. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.